what is authority? In Webster's Ninth Collegiate Dictionary, the word authority is defined as the power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. Persons in command. Within the Greek language, the word authority means the right to exercise power. All right, so number three, authority is the right to command or exercise power. Now, did we see Jesus do that? Absolutely we did. Did we see the apostles do that in the book of Acts? Absolutely we did. All right, many times they would command demon spirits. They would command diseases to go. And they would command healings. And, you know, in our theological world, I know a lot of people, you know, because of a lot of evangelical teaching out there, you know, that says that, you know, all the apostolic age was just that era, and that's all passed away, and miracles are not for today, and, you know, an apostolic power is not for today, and I don't know what Bible they're reading. Because I find that the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I find that the Bible says he distributes gifts to every person severally as he wills. Amen. I don't get that reasoning or that understanding, but we need to clarify it. You know, that we have been given that authority. If the apostles operated in it, why can't we? He's the same God in every generation. That's why the Bible says he's the God of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Every generation. So thank God that we can operate, you know, in that authority. So what is power? All right, within the same dictionary, the word power is defined as the ability to act or to produce an effect. We could even say physical might or strength. So you can see that authority is the right to exercise power, the right to exercise strength, the right to use the ability to produce an effect. All right, so where does our power come from? Comes from the Holy Ghost, right? Comes from the Holy Ghost. All right, without authority, you have no right to exercise power. Without power, authority has no ability or strength with which to produce something. How many of you see there is a connection of God's power and God's authority? And Jesus has delegated us with that. That's why John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power. Or as the NIV Bible says, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. So we have received that, you know, it's like if someone, you know, if you ever watch a Western movie, and if you've ever seen the sheriff, he'll swear in deputies, raise your right hand. I solemnly swear to uphold the law and exercise, you know, et cetera, whatever they say in that kind of ceremony. You know, well, in a similar fashion, that's what Jesus has done to you and I. He has deputized us. He has given us authority from himself. You know, thank God for that. Amen? Thank God that we have authority and we can exercise power. Both of them come from the Lord. Let's see, moving on. Believers have authority. Where did they get this authority? Where does it come from? Well, here's the answer. The believer's authority and power are found in the name of Jesus. So it's found in the very person of Christ. Amen? Without Christ, there is no power. There is no authority. It is all found in Jesus. Matthew 28:18. Jesus stated, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word, the Greek word translated as power in this verse is the word for authority. The New American Standard Bible says, all authority, and this was Jesus' statement, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, if we read that further, he said, and go ye, right? He gave the commission. He said, and go ye and preach the gospel to every person, because that's the commission. See, we've been delegated. All right, he's the one that possesses the authority. When he left this earth, he deputized believers with that power, with that authority. And we are to go out and we are to exercise that kind of power. That's why I was challenging the church Sunday, you know, that if there's a prayer need, you know, listen, we want to be contacted. We want to know what's going on in people's lives. We want to pray and minister, but we want the people of God to understand they have the authority to do that. You know, they have the power to do that. You know, they have the power to lead someone to Christ. They have the power to pray. They have the power to, exercise demons if that's what the case calls for. Because believers have been deputized. And when the Holy Spirit fills a person, we are filled and endued with power. Amen? Power. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. I used to love to listen to old R.W. Shambach when he great tent revivalist, a different era, of course, but gone on to be with Jesus now. But on his radio program, I'd hear him say, "I got more power than the devil." Hallelujah! Now, of course, what he was stating is that according to 1 John 4:4, greater is He who is on the inside of us than he who is in the world. He wasn't saying that he really, you know, had the power because of the one who is empowering him. Aside from Christ, outside of Christ, we are no match for the devil. None whatsoever. It's all in the power of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. The authority execute power given to Jesus covers heaven and earth and the things under the earth. The Bible teaches that in the book of Colossians. Next thing, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's going to be a day where every single human being, every Christ rejecter, every atheist, Hugh Hefner, I mean, come on. You know, every ungodly person, you know, that rejected the gospel of salvation, even the devil himself will one day bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because it says it right here, that every tongue, I think the devil has a tongue, because he's always talking to people, isn't he? Trying to convince them to do this and do that. All right, your position in Christ Jesus. The Father has delivered you from the power of darkness according to Colossians 1:12. It says that he has translated us, or he has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thank God. If you are a born-again child of God, you have been delivered. You have been transferred. You are no longer in the devil's kingdom. When people are lost, they are in the devil's kingdom. When you become a born-again child of God, you are transferred out of his kingdom. Out from under, listen, out from under his authority. That's a very important point. And we're translated into his kingdom, the kingdom of the Son. So then, kingdom power, kingdom principles operate on the inside of believers. Hallelujah. And that can overcome, it can overcome so many things in our life. You know, we may think that we are, inhibited in areas of our lives, or we are timid in areas of our lives. Listen, when power infuses you, all of a sudden God stands you up. You know, and his power and his anointing supersedes your personality. Your personality is still there, but thank God, you know, that authority kicks in because you are no longer under Satan's authority. You are now under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God. Why? Because the Father has delivered you, according to Colossians 1:12. All right, Jesus Christ defeated Satan and his evil spirits. It tells us that in Colossians 2:15. Not all of these verses are printed in the notes. That's why I encourage you to, in your private time, look up these verses and study them for yourself, see what they say. He defeated Satan and his evil spirits. The Bible says in this verse that he disarmed the satanic forces. He disarmed them. Now think of that. He disarmed them. So if he disarmed them, then really they have no authority whatsoever in our lives. None. Again, the only way they can get it is if we compromise some area of our life and we allow some issue to trip us up, some sin problem. You know, and it's like the old cliche, you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile. You know, if you even crack the door open, he's going to bust his way in, because sin doesn't stay small. It snowballs. And the little snowstorm we had last month, went over to my daughter's house in Mandeville, where they had all the, or in Madisonville, where they had all the snow. It must have had about 4 inches. And I was watching my son, Josiah. He was just like a little kid out there playing in the snow. He's 17 going on 18, just like a little kid playing in the snow. And he was rolling up snowballs and throwing them on the roof. And he was watching them roll down. And as they rolled down, what happened? It got bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, some of them he'd throw up there and they just get stuck. You know, but that's what sin does. It's like that snowball. You know, it starts out small, but then, you know, and it's a downhill journey too. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So, see, that's what trips us up in authority. You know, is if there's any area of compromise in our lives or any sin issue in our lives. And, you know, I realize as a minister of the gospel that, you know, I'm under constant assault, you know, as one who holds forth the word of God. And I have to put forth full effort to keep my mind pure, to keep my thought life right, you know, to keep my heart pure, you know, because we live in a world that the Bible says threefold enemy: the world, the flesh, the devil. You know, so we're fighting the world, we're fighting the devil, and we're fighting ourselves, or the flesh. You know, Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." It's threefold battle, and we have to maintain, you know, righteousness. And when you maintain righteousness, your authority begins to really function and operate. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the righteous shall be bold as lions. So what's the devil after? He's after your righteousness. All right, so Jesus defeated Satan and his evil spirits. He disarmed those forces. And because you are in Christ, you participate in his victory. So as you live in Christ and use the power of his name, the enemy cannot defeat you. Oh, I have so many verses I could bring you to right now that I don't have on this outline to further illustrate and validate this point. You know, I'm thinking of this one in 1 John chapter 5, where he says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But he says that, but it shall not, you know, it shall not conquer you. He said it is your faith that overcomes the world. Amen. Who is he that shall harm you if you are doers of that which is good? It is your faith that overcomes the world. You know, the world is lying in the power of the devil, but your faith overcomes the world. Thank God for that. Amen. Moving on. Jesus gave you his authority, according to Luke 10:19. Look at what it says. New American Standard Bible. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. I think we just need to hear what God's Word says. You know, if you just listen to what God's Word says, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Amen. That's another Shambach quote from his radio program years ago. But I believe it's true. Amen. He says, nothing will hurt you. Nothing will injure you. Number two, you have authority now. You have the same authority, ability, responsibility, and position that the church had immediately after the mighty work of Christ was completed and he ascended on high. So in other words, the same thing that was happening in the book of Acts can happen today. God simply is looking for people to operate in that kind of authority. So that should challenge all of us. You know, it should challenge all of us to go deeper and higher in our relationship with God, to go into a greater level of the anointing, because that means greater power, greater authority. All right, next thing. Jesus expects you. He expects you to use the power of his name in doing his work here on earth. Now, I do want to visit one of these verses. Mark 16, you know, that's also the Great Commission. But I want to visit with you real quick 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5:20, because I want to point out something in reference to this verse. All right, the Bible says this: now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. All right, I want you to notice that word, ambassadors. Everybody sees that word? Ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a diplomat of the highest rank, sent as a representative. In other words, if a ambassador is sent from the United States to another country, they are not subject to the laws of that country. Now think about this now. Because they are not a citizen. They are citizens of another country. So as an ambassador, they represent that nation. All right, that's a key thing right there. You know, because a diplomat is of the highest rank, sent as a representative of a nation. And they are sent with a mission. All right, so God is telling us in his word right here that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. All right, again, think of the definition of this: diplomat of the highest rank. Now, you tell me, is that authority or not? Any way you slice it, that's not just authority. That is a high rank of authority, because we are ambassadors and we are sent to do his work, and we are sent with a mission. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Man, we are ambassadors. He says it right here. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you, be reconciled to God. What is he saying? He is telling man, operate in your authority. Operate in what God has given to you, this deputized power, this rank, you know, this incredible representative that we are as believers. Man, this is authority. How many of you see in these verses of scripture that we're talking about here that, man, this is a key principle in spiritual warfare? You should not be running from the devil. The devil should be running from you. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, he should be saying, uh-oh. Right? What damage are they going to do today? Because we are ambassadors. All right, there's great power in His name, according to Philippians chapter 2. We just read that at the top of the page. You know, God highly exalted Him, given Him a name above every name. You know, so there is so much power in the name of Jesus. And we use that name because that is our badge. That is the vehicle, the weapon of our power and of our authority. So you as a believer have the authority. You have the right to exercise the power that is in the name of Jesus. But again, how many of you know your life has to back it up? It's like in the book of Acts when the seven sons of Sceva tried to exercise. You know, they saw the apostles casting demons out of people, exercising authority. You know, so they wanted to, you know, they were power-hungry people. And they thought that they could do the same thing. Well, all we got to do is use the name of Jesus. And we can do these kind of exploits. So they went to these demon-possessed people and they said, "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him." Then all of a sudden that demon began to speak and he said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" It's in the Bible. In Acts chapter 7, right? Who are you? See, their life did not back. First of all, they were not born again Christians. So their life didn't back it up. So they didn't have that authority. And the Bible says those demons attacked them. And it says they ran out of that place beat up and naked. They stripped their clothes. Man, that's a story right there. They ought to make a movie on that one. Call Steven Spielberg. Hallelujah. See, you got to back it up. Your life has to back it up. You know, if a man's living in adultery, guess what? He don't have any power. He don't have any authority. You know, because your life has to back it up. You have the right to exercise it, but you have to do it in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All right, number three, in John 14, 12 to 14, I like this one. The original Greek word, I want to visit this one with you too, real quick, before we talk about this word. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I guess y'all could see there's so much material in this lesson. And sometimes, man, I get going in this kind of stuff, and I just preach myself excited. You know, so sometimes I have to just take a little time on certain things, but I want to point this one out to you in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus says this. Listen closely, verse 12. "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." I will do it. All right, so in this passage, that word "ask" in the original Greek, it means to ask for, it means to demand, it means to make a demand based upon one's authority. That changes everything. He's not just telling us to ask or to beg. He is telling us to exercise a command of authority in our prayer. Taking authority over situations and circumstances. We could exercise that, you know, in our families, you know, in so many different areas of our lives. We could exercise that kind of authority because it means to place a demand based upon one's authority. Well, the demand is based upon the authority of only one person, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why he said it. I mean, just think about what he's saying here. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." See, we're simply the extension of that incredible authority. So he just kind of uses you and me. You know, he's the authority. You know, we don't need to go out of here tonight all cocky, right? Because we must understand that without Jesus, we can't do anything. Amen. You know, we're simply the vehicle. You know, we're like the pipe. We're like a gold pipe, and he just pours the oil in, and it flows through it. See, that's how the authority works. That's why you got to keep the pipe shiny, because he wants to flow through you. That's how authority works, because he said we can demand, but it's based upon the authority of Christ. See, this definition fits with John 14:12, where Jesus told us to do his work. He commissioned you in verse 12. He gave you the right to use his name in verse 13 and 14 of John chapter 14 that we're looking at right here. All right, so as you use Jesus' name to do his work, the enemy must flee and the work will be accomplished. That's why James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't give him any foothold. Close the door. Don't let him in. But how many of you know he's always knocking? Knock, knock. Who's there? The devil. No, he don't say that. He don't say that. Who's there? An opportunity for some under the table money. An opportunity for a little sexual sin. Nobody will find out. A little opportunity for whatever. You know, he knocks. Who's there? He never says the devil. He comes with his deal, because he is in the deal-making business. So the Bible says, don't let him steal your authority. Resist him, and he will flee from you. All right, the principle of demanding in John 14:12-14 is not necessarily referring to prayer. It is referring to doing the works of Jesus. And what are those works? Well, if you go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all of those who are oppressed of the devil. So if you go about doing good on your job, in your family, healing those who are oppressed of the devil, giving them, you know, listen, the world gives people all kind of garbage. You know, we should be giving them a good word, because the gospel is good news. So we should be prophesying to them, you know, something good, speaking a good word over them, and giving them the good news of the gospel, because they are oppressed. You know, he said, healing those who are oppressed of the devil. So we are to go about doing good and allowing the authority that is flowing in us and through us to liberate those who are oppressed of the devil. Get them to church. Bring them to the house of God. Witness to them. Share Jesus with them. Lay hands on them if they'll let you. Amen. Pray over them a prayer of faith. In Acts 3:6, this is the next page. In Acts 3:6, Peter, at the gate beautiful, did not pray for the lame man. You can go check this out. He didn't pray for him. He commanded him to rise and be healed in Jesus' name. You can go read it. He didn't pray for him. He commanded it. You know, so that goes back to what we just brought out in John 14 with that word ask. It means, you know, putting a demand upon. You know, so this is what, evidently they understood that. And they got it. And they operated in it. So he prayed. He didn't pray for the man. He commanded the man to rise and be healed in Jesus' name. In doing so, Peter was demanding that the enemy's sickness leave. Hallelujah. I think we ought to do that a little more. Something supernatural might just happen. Right? See, you're not demanding of God. This is key to understand this. You're not demanding of God. You are demanding the enemy. You're demanding that the enemy leave. Didn't Jesus, after he was tempted for 40 days, Didn't he finally reach a point where he said, enough is enough? And he said, get behind me, devil, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, what was he trying to do to Christ? He was trying to bring him under his noose, bring him under his authority, bring him under his control, right? He was attacking his righteousness. If you are the son of, attacking his identity, if you're the son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If you're the son of God, you know, it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. If you're the son of God, you know, and then Jesus said, I've had about enough of this. And he just said, it's time for him to go. Find a similar story in the book of Acts. Paul was ministering, and there was this demon-possessed girl that was following him, following his ministry. Demon-possessed people follow ministries. Isn't that interesting? And she kept saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. Well, that sounds like a pretty good thing coming out of a demon-possessed person. But Paul had tolerated that for several days, and then he finally turned around, you know, and it was like, oh, Popeye. You know, when Popeye would have enough, so, I'm going to have the young people in here tonight. I think most of y'all know Popeye, right? He popped that can of spinach, and it was on, you know. Oh, Brutus was done, man. Well, that's kind of what Paul did, you know. He'd had enough. And he turned around and he said, you wicked spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. There was a revival that took place after that. Bible says that what happened is that they had the apostles fell under all kind of trouble because this demon possessed girl she worked in in witchcraft and fortune telling and superstitious things and the people that were making money off of that all of a sudden they were mad because it was hitting them in the pocketbook and then they had Peter and Paul arrested, and then they would be beaten. And I mean, all of these things took place in the book of Acts, you know. But they operated in authority because we have authority in the name of Jesus. Thank God. All right. Next part here. Let's see. We've got about 10 minutes left. 10 minutes left. And let's see what I got left. I got two pages. Page and a half. Y'all believe in miracles? All right, you're going to see one right here. All right, understanding your adversary. Have you seen sickness, destruction, famine, or death? All of us have. That is the work of the thief. I quote it all the time. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. See, Satan is evil, but he is intelligent. And his plans are subtle, and they are right out of hell. And that's why we have to always look beyond the people that we want to get mad at. Because there is something going on in those people's lives that they have no understanding about. And it's detailed right here, Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many of you know people can just kind of rile you up and you just feel like smacking them? You ever just felt like smacking somebody? There was a day when I used to smack them. And I got smacked. Well, you know what they say, what goes around comes around. But see, we have to look beyond that. Rather than getting mad and angry at somebody, you know, we know their attitudes are... might be terrible. They might be telling lies. I mean, who knows? But we must understand that the enemy is not them. The enemy, because he says it right here. He says the enemy is not flesh and blood. If you go on and read the rest of the verse, he says we are fighting principalities, forces of darkness, spiritual wickedness, in high places. Put on the armor of God. Because, you know, this is important that we understand the adversary. You know, his work is sickness, destruction, famine, death. I wish I would have been able to stay home and watch the, I was watching on Channel 4 tonight. They were doing this, this thing on opioid addictions. And, I mean, we know what that's doing. We have people in this congregation whose lives have been touched by that. Families have been touched by that. That's the devil's work. You know, it's just what he uses. You know, he uses things to destroy people's lives. And they had Greg Dill on there, and Greg has been at our church when we had, of course, we've had the Teen Challenge team here on more than one occasion. And Greg came with them. He was on the panel tonight because he is the leader of Teen Challenge for the New Orleans branch. And I think they have, in this region, I think there's like 8 or 10 rehab centers doing a great work. But let me tell you something about Teen Challenge. And I know I can't get off on these little side things too deep here because I want to get through this here tonight. But let me tell you a little something about Teen Challenge. You know what Teen Challenge does? Teen Challenge gives them the word, the word, the word, the word. They get the word when they get up. They get the word at lunch. They get the word in the afternoon. They get the word in the evening. They get the word at bedtime. It is the word, the word, the word, the word. They are driven with the word of God to deliver them and set them free. And they have one of the highest success ratios I don't even know if we would use the word cure, but, you know, we'll just use a biblical word, of deliverance. You know, because of the people that they see set free from these things, you know. But there's still, you know, there's still people go through those programs, and they still don't get free. You know, it's a strong, you know, the devil fights strong, and he fights for keeps, amen. And that's why we have to exercise authority, and understand what's happening. You know, it's not just flesh and blood. It's these forces of darkness. All right, continuing on, understanding your adversary. You cannot use your authority against people. That does not work. All right, that's an important point to realize and to understand. See, to get listen to this now. To get people to do what you want is manipulation and witchcraft. Did y'all catch that? And there's a lot of people that kind of operate. I'm talking about believers that operate in that zone, you know, to get people to do what they want, you know, and it's they do it by manipulation, but the Bible calls it a spirit of witchcraft. You cannot use your authority against people. That does not work. You have to deal with the evil spiritual forces of Satan. So if you're dealing with somebody that's difficult, your authority is not over them. Your authority is over the power that's controlling them. So, see, we got to have the right understanding and know, you know, what we're doing here and where we have to hit the nail. Next thing is you deal with the evil spiritual forces of Satan. You know, that's where the war is. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5, seeking whom he may devour. All right, here's a great point. But he cannot devour the Christian who uses the name of Jesus to resist him. Hallelujah. Because greater is the Christ on the inside than the devil that is in the world. All right. So you can't use your authority against people, but you can, this is the next thing on the outline, you can exercise authority for other people. In other words, you can exercise authority on behalf of your family because you have authority in that family. You know, husbands, Bible teaches that we have authority in our families, in our homes, and we have a responsibility. You know, mothers, you also. You know, the Bible says that, you know, that a husband has authority over his wife and over her body. But it also goes the other way. It says, and the wife has authority over her husband and his body. Y'all see how that works? God is so wise. And when we flow in those zones, man, it's great. But we live in a world that don't know how to flow in those zones. You know, the powers, you know, they're working. These forces are working. And we have to be aware of it. All right, so you do have responsibility for you. You can exercise authority on behalf of your family because you have responsibility for your family. You can break Satan's power over those in your family. And this should encourage us. Now, here's the third thing. If there is a problem or difficult situation in your family, ask the Lord to show you the problem from His viewpoint and how you should deal with it. And that's what the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 12, and it calls it discernment. The gift of discerning of spirits. So we should ask God to help us, give us insight, to really see what's going on. Because we can exercise authority in our families. All right, here's the next thing. You have authority over your own life and within your own family. But you cannot cast the devil out of everyone you meet on the street. They have authority over their own lives. So it's not a good idea if you go to the shopping mall to go around laying hands on people and saying, "Come out, Satan." It won't work. And believe it or not, there are people that try to do that. I did some hospital visitations, and the superintendent, or her position rather, but she was over the clergy department for West Jefferson Medical Center, and she was talking to me, you know, because I was doing some hospital visitation. We were, the hospital had contacted us, wanted us to come help because there's so many needs. And so we brought a group and went through the training and they would call us, you know. But they would always kind of give us this little warning, you know. We don't, you can't go in there and exercise demons. And, you know, because there were groups that came to and they were trying to do that. Said, "Ma'am, we're not gonna do that, you know, because we can't do that." Now, let me clarify that, okay? Because you can't cast the devil out of everyone you meet on the street because they have authority on their own lives. All right, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus taught us, verse 5 to 11, I don't have time to visit it, but he taught us in Mark 6, 5 to 11, that there is a human will factor in being delivered. There's a human will factor. The Bible even says that Jesus could not do a lot of miracles in one particular village because they did not believe in him. See, believing is a choice. They chose not to believe in him. So he didn't go in there, you know, casting out devils. Think of this. Even when Jesus exercised demons, people came to him for his help. Go check it out. It's in the Gospels. The demon of Gadara said he was living in the cemetery. Jesus crosses the sea. He comes to the shoreline. He begins his journey. The demon comes. Bible says the demon came and or the demon possessed man came and met him. Right? So he didn't go to the cemetery to go find a devil to cast out. The man came running to him. When a child's father came running to Jesus. "My son is possessed. He's a lunatic." I know a lot. We look at that and say, "Man, that sounds like some of my family members." Hallelujah. But the father came and said, he's possessed. "Will you come?" And he came. And then he exercised the demon. See, there's will. See, you have authority over demonic forces, but you do not have authority over human wills. If someone has an evil spirit and they do not want to be free from it, you cannot cast it out. And you can exercise Man, I'm already late. I'm five after. I gotta finish this up. I had a man come to me a few years ago, wanted me to exercise demons out of him. And I told him, I said, I really don't think that's your problem. And he said, well, I really think it is. I said, I think all you need to do is learn the Word of God and apply it into your life. And he said, I'm going to go to this other church. He said, they kind of flow in that over there. And he mentioned the pastor. I said, yeah. I said, go see him. I know him. I said, great folks. I said, if you feel you need to do that, I said, yeah, my blessing. So he went over there, came back a week later, and he said, Pastor, he said, I think you were right. He said, they did all kind of praying over me. He said, nothing happened. And he said, so I think you're right. So then he began to apply the Word of God to his life. And guess what? Living in the victory of it. Walking in the power of it. Amen? You know, there wasn't, so many times we think, you know, and again, that goes back to the discernment. Well, anyway, let me finish this real quick here, and I don't have time. I might just save this for next week, but let me just finish the top of this page here on page 7. If people want to be free, they can be free. If people truly do not want to be free, neither Jesus nor anyone else can set them free. That's what is illustrated in Mark chapter 6, where it says he could not do any great works there. See, because there's got to be a submission, you know, there has to be faith at some point has to come into play. And people have to want to change. See, you can allow God to show you how to take authority, how to pray in a situation where a person says they do not want to be free. You can ask God to show you what to do. But even though someone says he does not want to be free, through your prayers and your authority, God may be able to make a way where the person is free from Satan's influence to the point where he can make a decision for freedom. So you might not be able to help them immediately, but you can help them futuristically. There's a lot of food for thought here. All right, next thing is fast and pray to get the mind of God on what to do. Here's a good one. There's no distance in the spirit world. Even if you use your authority over a situation that is taking place in another country, you are effective. Now, let me just finish this up because next week's lesson on prayer, I think, is even a little longer. All right, we're going to just sum this up right here. Here's the last thing. All right, you can use the principle of binding and loosing in Matthew chapter 16:19. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that is a statement that there's so much different thoughts on of what that really means. Let me just give you a little historical background. This is a Jewish phrase that simply means to forbid by an indisputable authority and to permit by an indisputable authority. In other words, it's like a faith declaration. See, the principle of binding and loosing is based upon the provisions of authority that have been given to believers through the cross. It's all through the cross. So the power of the kingdom has been given to us simply because of what Christ has accomplished. So it is exercising by faith what has already been declared. Do y'all understand that? So that's why he says, whatsoever is bound on earth, it's already bound in heaven. Whatsoever is loosed on earth, it's already loosed in heaven. Because it's based upon, you know, it's like a faith declaration. You know, it's already based upon what has been provided. We are simply exercising by faith what has already been declared. And I really wish I had more time to elaborate on this because this is... You know, there's a lot of different ideas about this principle of binding and loosing. But Jesus declared that believers have been given the keys to the kingdom. And when believers live in the lordship of Christ, they have his authority to execute the will of God on the earth. Thank God we do. And the principle of binding and loosing is based upon praying the word of God over every circumstance and situation in life. And that really just sums it up right there. You know, binding and loosing, praying the word of God, praying the will of God, that very closely coincides with what Jesus gave us in Matthew 6 when he said, after this manner, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen, and so on and so forth. Well, let's stand tonight, and I hope that we have deposited something in your spirit tonight in this area of warfare and authority. And we have authority. Thank God. We have authority. And we should operate in that authority. Amen. Let's pray. Father, God, we just commit this to you tonight, the things that we have shared from the Word of God. And Father, I believe you, Lord, God, that we will have a greater understanding. If your people perish for lack of knowledge, I hope that we have turned that tide a little bit here tonight. That we have a better understanding, my God, of the authority that you have given us. We understand that without Jesus Christ, we are nothing. We have no power. We have no jurisdiction. We have no authority. But thank God that he has given us the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Help us to operate and function, Lord, in those areas. Help us, O God, in our families where we may be fighting spiritual battles. God, maybe close friends or associates that may be under the devil's delusion. Father God, give us wisdom, God. Give us grace and insight, God, of how we could be used by you, how we can exercise authority to set the captives free in the name of Jesus.